Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com and this special Bible prophecy study titled The Rapture and the Return, Seven Distinctions. The purpose of this study is to lay out seven clear distinctions that the Bible makes between the rapture of the church and the return of Jesus Christ to rule and reign for 1,000 years. You can send comments, questions, or prayer requests by email to bbbfohio@yahoo.com. That's three B's, the letter B, bbfohio@yahoo.com. Or you can send your letter to Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 211, West Jefferson, Ohio, 43162. That's P.O. Box 211, West Jefferson, Ohio, 43162. And now we begin our study titled The Rapture and the Return.
Before we get into the study texts, just want to lay some groundwork that there are three keys to sound doctrine. There are more things in your studies of Scripture that will help you in your studies to develop sound doctrine. But I'm going to give you three this morning before we start. One is to always take the words in context in which they appear and were intended to be taken. One of the worst things that's happened in Christian history, and what really helped produce the Dark Ages, was the act of allegory, allegorizing the Scripture. And those who are amillennial are probably some of the worst when it comes to Bible prophecy. And what they do is just make the Bible say whatever they want it to say. And one of the horrible examples of that is just pick up the Jehovah's Witness book on the book of Revelation. And you read that, and they've got the bowls and the trumpets and the seals being fulfilled with crazy things like one of the judgments was fulfilled when the president of the Watchtower gave a speech up at Cedar Point in Cleveland. And, you know, the actual seal or the actual judgment was involved, like, you know, massive, you know, destruction on the earth and all this. And they're like, no, actually, that was just when our president gave a speech.
Because he said so.
And it's allegory. That's what allegory leads to, anything. You can make the Bible say anything. So if you always take the words in context in which they appear and were intended to be taken. Context, context, context. Amen?
Amen.
Second key I want to mention before we get into our study is to never add to or take away from God's words to prove your own point. We're talking about that with Sean this morning, that there's so many things that people want to make holy writ, oracles of God, which are their own opinions. So they will willy-nilly just change the Bible to match their opinions. And you should never add to or take away from God's Word, even if you think what you're saying is true or it's a good point. You may be preaching a true doctrine, but you use the Bible incorrectly, and that's wrong. You shouldn't do that. And Proverbs chapter 30, verse 6 is an important Bible verse. You got to mark in your Bible, underline it. Read that with me. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar.
Amen.
In our study this morning, we're going to take it just as it is, and we're going to let it speak, and we're not going to add to or take away from it. And when you do that, you come up with some clarity in the things that you believe. And number three, when the Bible makes a distinction, we must recognize that distinction. And you'll see what I mean as we go through our study, but the Bible makes distinctions, and you had better pay attention to those distinctions. Of course, we're going to talk a little bit about dispensations. There are distinctions between the different dispensations. Have these goofballs out there saying, well, there's really only two dispensations, Old Testament and New Testament. Anybody tells you that, you ought to turn them off. They have no business teaching the Bible whatsoever. And they... anybody read the Bible and not see the difference between the dispensation in the Garden of Eden and the dispensation after. And those can't be the only two dispensations, because we know we're in one that's different than the one before. Mm-hmm. So you got three right there. And you know the millennium isn't now, thank God. This is not the millennium.
Thank goodness.
So there you got four, and so forth. So you just, a simple reading of the Bible, you see these distinctions, And you know, how many, another dispensation different from all those four I just mentioned was the dispensation of what some people call government, human government, whatever. And that ended with Noah being told to build an ark. And other than Ken Ham, who's building an ark today? Nobody.
That thing is humongous.
And that thing isn't to save the world. It's to be a picture of what happened. Amen?
Amen.
What's this say?
Things that are different are not the same.
And I haven't thrown that out at you for a little while, but that's one you better keep in your mind because, you know, that's real simple. You hear people teaching and you're like, wait a minute. They're not making a difference there, and the Word of God makes a difference, so they're not the same. And you'll know that there's something wrong with what you're being taught right there. And that can happen in your own mind. You can be reading the Bible and think one thing, and then all of a sudden say, whoa, wait a minute. I need to change my thinking.
Amen.
If you read the Bible and it's not regularly making you test or even change your opinions, then you're not reading the Bible. You might be saying words in your mind and out loud, but it's not really reading the Bible.
Amen.
The Bible will constantly keep you on your toes. Now, the Bible makes seven distinctions, and this I'm not saying that's all, but there are seven major distinctions we're going to look at. Between what we call the rapture and the return. The rapture and the second coming in what you'd say properly speaking. Second coming is when Jesus comes to the earth to reign and rule. The rapture isn't the second coming. The rapture is not the return. There are distinctions in the scripture between the two. And it's amazing to me how many people today don't make those distinctions and totally mix them up.
Amen.
Now, just look at this picture. As a, you know, some of you don't like words, so we use pictures.
Amen.
And you have a picture of the rapture here. Now, if you look close, you'll see everybody's, this is the earth, and they're going which direction?
Up.
Up. Heaven. Okay. Now, over here is the return, and what direction are they coming in this one?
Down.
Now, I don't want to lose anybody here, but answer this question. Are up and down the same?
No.
Then obviously something different is happening here.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
You say, you know, what are you making fun of us? No, I'm not making fun of you, but I'm making fun of a whole lot of people right now.
Yeah.
You can't get that simple difference.
Amen.
You know what? There are some who put the rapture in the middle of the tribulation, or the pre-rapturers put it right toward the end, and so you go up for a shorter amount of time than what we believe in their scenario. And there's other ways of explaining and answering that, and we're not going to get into all that today. But there are also those who are post-trib, and that's probably the most outspoken group today that opposes what we believe, the post-trib rapture. And that one, they literally believe you kind of go up and down. That's their version.
Like a roller coaster. That's sad.
Yeah, it's kind of like a heavenly roller coaster. You go up and put on a glorified body and then come down. You know.
That's not how the Bible presents it. And so we're going to find there are seven distinctions between the rapture and the return. And just as an introduction, I want you to keep that illustration in mind, what we just saw. And also this, as we look at the chart, the dispensational chart, dispensations are laid out in several charts you can find online. You can get Clarence Larkin's, etc. This is one that we produced. We offer it online free. Anyone goes to bbfohio.com. You can download our charts, and this is one of them. And you see, this is the distinctions I was talking about, the dispensations. And here is the dispensation we're in now. I always tell you, the Bible doesn't specify what we should call each one. So there's a little leeway there. Some call this the church age, some the age of grace, the dispensation of grace, whatever you want to call it. And the purpose of the language is to just let you know it's different than what we had back here, which was the Mosaic Law. And it's different than what's coming in the millennium. See that? If you understand that much, then you understand what I'm saying. This was before Jesus came and died, was buried, and rose again. This is after the return of Jesus Christ, the millennium. This is where we are now. Now, the dispensation of law, which came right before where we are now, ended with 69 weeks, as described in Daniel chapter 9,
verses 24 to 27. Those 69 weeks ended when Messiah was cut off. The 70th week begins whenever there is a confirmation of the covenant. Now, I just am beside myself sometimes reading some of my favorite teachers, even, to be honest with you, who act like this is some big question mark. When it says there's a confirming of the covenant, there's only one the covenant in the Bible. It's the Mosaic covenant. The covenant. When Daniel wrote Daniel 9, there was one covenant that was the covenant.
That's right.
Now, that covenant was suspended by the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It is going to be reinstituted for 1 week. And then at the end of that 1 week is when Jesus returns and he begins his kingdom. And during that 1,000-year kingdom, the law is fulfilled literally on the earth, with Jesus sitting on the mercy seat. And there'll be sacrifices. They will be memorial. And so forth. So the covenant isn't done yet. It's not like God just put into it and it's over. It's got a purpose yet. But it was suspended by the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. His blood now pays for your sins. His blood has been shed. And therefore, we don't have a temple and we're not killing animals and shedding their blood. Amen? Now, that's how simple that difference is. Now, during this 69 or 70 weeks prophecy, the question that we're kind of answering here is there a church? Or does the church go through this 70th week? And we're going to see, no. The church does not go through this 70th week. There was no church in the first 69 weeks.
Amen.
There was something the book of Acts referred to as the church in the wilderness. That's not the church of Jesus Christ. When we refer to the church, we're referring to the church of Jesus Christ. There was no church of Jesus Christ in the 69 weeks that led up to the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And there will be no church during that 70th week. And, you know, some people identify churches with church buildings, and that's not biblical to begin with. But during that time, there's not going to be church buildings with meetings like you saw in the Left Behind books. They're going to be on the run. They're going to have church in caves and in dens and etc., just like we read in Hebrews 11. Just like it was back then. And it's going to be that way in the 70th week. And there will be no church in the final 70th week because there was none in the first 69. So, let's define our terms and move on. The rapture, or catching away of the redeemed. That's the word rapture means the catching away, or rapture is a good word for it. Now, how many of you heard, well, rapture's not even in the Bible? How many of you heard that? The word rapture's not in the Bible. The word Bible's not in the Bible. The word Trinity's not in the Bible. There are plenty of words we use for the sake of communication that aren't in the Bible, and there's nothing wrong with that. As long as what you're communicating is biblical, then what word you use is fine. Yet some people say, well, I like to call it the snatching away. Well, that sounds a little weird to me, but if you want to call it that, go right ahead. And it's easier to say rapture than snatching away. You know, there's less syllables there. So for me, I just like that word, rapture. Then some like to call it the translation. Well, then people think you're talking about Bibles and things, you know. So anyway, for clarity, I just refer to it as the rapture. And then there's the return, and that's the revelation of Jesus Christ as King of Kings. See, when the rapture takes place, the purpose isn't to reveal Jesus as King of Kings. The rapture is for us, the body, the bride, to be taken up. And again, we talked about how these people who screw all this up refer to the church. They say the church isn't the bride. Why? Because they don't recognize the distinctions made in Scripture. They'll say, some people say it's New Jerusalem. No, New Jerusalem is your mother.
Amen.
Can you be your mother and the bride at the same time? No. When Charlie and Olivia tie the knot, Olivia is the bride. Her mother will be there but not be the mother. Charlie's mother will be there but not be the... I'm sorry. Your mother will be there, not be the bride. Charlie's mother will be there and she's not the bride. Pretty basic, simple stuff, right? Well, then why can't people get in the Bible? The Bible says New Jerusalem is not the bride. She's the mother.
Amen.
They're different. They also then say that the bride is Israel. And we saw in our study last Wednesday, the bride says, come. The bride is preaching the gospel. Israel doesn't do that. The church does.
Amen.
And so forth. See how simple that is? It's just that simple. It all, you know, the Bible is very clearly written if you just make the distinctions and recognize what's written. So there's your definitions. To understand, the rapture's on up, the return Jesus comes down. It really is that simple. And, you know, we go up and there's people teach that we don't come back. We do. What goes up must come down. Yeah. That's your theme song. In the rapture, you go up, you must come down. You will rule and reign with Jesus Christ. Would you consider ruling and reigning with Him if you were in heaven watching? No. I went to a Buckeyes game, thanks to Jenny, this year. I don't go around saying to everybody, yeah, I played a heck of a game that day. You played? Yeah, up in the nosebleed section. No, I wasn't playing. I was observing. And that's the same way with the ruling and reigning. We are going to really rule and reign on the earth with Jesus during the millennium. So we go up and we come back down. In other words, the rapture and the return are not the same. Two of you agree. Amen. I got my work cut out for me, but we're going to just make it this simple for you too. We're going to make a list. And we're going to check it off. All right? So distinction number one. And write these down if you're not fast enough to turn there or whatever, but you need to write these down. You need to get these. Or you can take pictures with your smartphones. I have no problem with that as long as you keep the flash off. Distinction number one. Yeah, Peter's going to watch the video. The distinction that we first want to recognize is what we just said. The church is caught up and the church comes down. Now, some of you may be sitting there thinking, well, you said that and you showed us a picture. I want to see the Bible. Good for you. That's what you ought to be thinking right now. You know, you showed us nice, pretty pictures, and you said it. Where's the Bible? Yeah. Acts 17:11. Amen?
Amen?
And if I say something and I don't quote the Bible, but I give you references at times, because for the sake of time, sometimes I'll do that, go home and look them up. You better be testing, not just me, I'm not just saying, every human being who teaches you.
Amen.
Test it. So in the rapture, 1 Thessalonians 4:17 says, then we which are alive and remain, that's most of you here this morning, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them, that's the dead in Christ, that's John. Now, as preacher said, you know, I got good news for y'all. When the rapture happens, you're all going up first because it says the dead in Christ rise first. Amen? But we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with the dead in Christ who are already up in the clouds. To meet the Lord where?
In the air.
And so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's why we know we're coming back with Him.
Amen.
Where He goes, we go permanently. But there's the rapture. It's being caught up in the air. Now, that sounds pretty crazy to people who've never heard it before. But I got to tell you, what I find is a lot of the people who think this sounds crazy have no problem with believing in the Big Bang Theory, no problem believing in spontaneous generation, which is all a bunch of fiction.
Amen.
And they have no problem believing in panspermia a lot of times, where some foreign alien civilization that's advanced came to earth and planted the seeds of life, and when we all evolved from being amoebas into what we are today. And then the question is, where did they come from? Where did that, you know, so it's not an answer to the question where life came from. You just moved the shell. That's more the Mormon. The Mormons believe in the planet Kolob and that, you know. Not colon. Kolob. Yeah. So, get back to the text. The church is caught up, and the return is the opposite. In Revelation 19, if you were with us on a Wednesday study a few months ago, Revelation 19:14, and the armies, that's us, and the armies which were in heaven, on horses, on white horses, followed Him upon white horses clothed in fine linen, white and clean.
Amen.
That'll be the first time some of us have a clean white shirt. Amen? But it'll be the righteousness of Jesus. It's not our righteousness that we're displaying. It's His righteousness we're clothed in on a white horse coming back with Him. And so in the return, the church comes down. And so we've got number one, which I already mentioned, but I just want to start right off with that. Distinction number one. The rapture, the church goes up. In the return, we come back down. It's that simple. See how easy this is?
Amen.
Should I go on or do we just want to eat? My wife says we have to continue. Distinction number two. In the rapture, we go up to the Father's house in heaven. In the return, we come to the kingdom that's on earth. A real, literal kingdom. The rapture, John 14, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And then he begins in verse 2 to explain where we're going to go when he takes us out of here. And that's John chapter 14, verses 2 and 3. Says, in my Father's house are many mansions. And look it up in your NIV, and they're going to cram you into the glove box or something, a compartment. But the King James says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you.
Amen.
Do you see that?
Amen.
Jesus says, I've got a Father in heaven that I am one with, he said. I and my Father are one. And he said he came to speak that which his Father told him to speak. And he's telling you that you've got a mansion. And he says, if it were not so, I would have told you. I think there's a reason why, this is a little Gregology, I'll admit that. But I read that, and I think there's probably, if you read through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you look at these followers of Christ, the disciples, the apostles themselves included, they were bickering a lot. And I think that they may have had a little bit of a scholarly debate over whether it was a mansion or a compartment. And Jesus is saying, yeah, it's going to be a mansion. If it weren't so, I would have told you.
That's right.
Yeah. I go to prepare a place for you. It's insulting to think Jesus can't prepare you a mansion. It's insulting. And if I go and prepare a place for you, here it is. I will come again and receive you unto myself. That's going up. That where I am, there you may be also, which is what we read about the rapture in the previous text. See, you can see the similarities there, talking about the same event. And what's happening here? You're going to the Father's house.
Amen.
Where does he say the Father's house is?
Heaven.
He's going to prepare a place for you. Where did Jesus go?
Heaven.
Acts chapter 1. He went up to heaven. That's where the Father's house and the mansions are. And just throw this in free of charge. We're going to see that when you study with us in Revelation, that's the New Jerusalem. And comes down from God out of heaven.
Amen.
And the reason it says it's prepared as a bride, doesn't say it is the bride. And the reason it's prepared as a bride is because the bride lives there. And we decorate it.
Amen.
We're the jewels.
Amen.
I believe there's literal golden jewels as well, but the church, when Paul talks about us being his crown of rejoicing and all that.
Amen.
So at the return, we've already been to the Father's house. We've been with Jesus and we're returning with him. In Revelation again, chapter 19, read that with me. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of wrath of Almighty God. He's going to rule and reign. Now, he doesn't have to do that in heaven. In heaven, we're all there and we're happy to be there. And we're not trying to overthrow the king. Amen?
Amen?
In the millennium, there's a bunch of rebels. And at the very end of the millennium, they show their true colors and get wiped out. Amen?
Amen.
But in the meantime, he's not going to let that rebellion happen until the very end. He's going to rule with a rod of iron. That's not in the Father's house. That's on earth. See the difference? Verse 6 in chapter 20 said, blessed is and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But this is us. They shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall what?
Reign
with him 1,000 years. Not just 1,000 years. The word just isn't in there either. It's just 1,000 years at the beginning. We're going to reign on earth for 1,000 years with him, and then after that, who knows? It's just going to be awesome. That's all we know. So there you go. The chart set, survey says. Number two, Father's house is where we go in the rapture. The return, kingdoms on earth. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Got a little clarity going on here?
Yeah.
That's the goal. I don't accomplish it every week, but I try to have a little clarity when I'm teaching. If I feel like you're getting it, that makes me feel good. Amen?
Amen.
And that's what it's all about, is making me feel good.
Yes.
All right. Now, this alone is enough to establish the fact, but my wife can, you know, is insisting I continue. So, distinction number three. The rapture is the rescue of the church. How many of you feel like sometimes you're in trouble down here?
Yeah.
You're an American. You ain't feeling nothing compared to what a lot of our brothers and sisters are feeling around the world.
Right.
Anywhere where Islam rules, and by the way, anywhere where Roman Catholicism rules, and anywhere where the Hindu religion rules, anywhere atheism rules, you're in trouble as a Christian. The only thing we've got here in America, this is not a Christian nation. It is neutral in theory. It is neutral legally. Legally, you're not supposed to be persecuted for your religion. That's the only reason you enjoy what you enjoy right now. And in places like Canada, England, Sweden,
yep,
they're cooked.
Yep, man.
Their freedom is gone. They can't even speak openly what they believe. And here in America, it's getting there.
Yeah.
Getting there. And there's Christians who have a sodomite come in and say, you're going to make me a cake, and it's going to say, have me and my boyfriend, soon to be husband, on there, and you're going to do it, and you're going to like it. And there are judges saying, that's right. And thankfully, there are some Christians saying, you know, go take a leap into the lake of fire. I'm not doing
it.
Amen,
brother. Burn.
Yep. We need more Christians like those people out. And where is that, Oregon? The name of that, I can't remember the name of the cake company that they're saying, you know what, you can take this business, I'm not going to go along with this, and they're going right to the Supreme Court with it. And if the Supreme Court sides with the sodomites, they're not still not going to make that cake.
Amen.
Now, I want to clarify something. I've told people, a couple of queers come to me and want to have a wedding, I'll give them a wedding. But if you've seen the clip or you were here when you saw the message, they ain't going to like it. And I'm not going to replay that whole thing. You can look it up. But my favorite part was at the end. I said, kiss off. Where's the food? Amen. That was my favorite line. So, back to the text. Rapture is the rescue of the church. Revelation 3:10. Return is the retribution on the world. When Jesus comes back, folks, it's not happy time. It is death.
Yep.
And only those who have not taken the mark, those are the only ones that God preserves. The ones that have survived, who haven't taken the mark, the rest die. There'll be more people, I believe this, there'll be more people die that day than has died since Noah's Ark, Noah's flood. I don't know, although I believe there's good estimates about how many people died there, I don't know for sure, but I know this. That day, the return of Jesus Christ, will be the deadliest day in human history since the day of Noah's flood. It's amazing to think about. So, the rapture in Revelation 3:10, he says, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Now this is just one, and of course you can just read the rapture text where you see that we're being taken out of the world when things are, all hell is about to break loose, but it hasn't broken loose yet.